Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and happy Sunday. This is November 6th, 2015. Dr. Lorraine Goodwin, and you are listening to Carpe Diem, Dr. Lorraine Goodwin. This show will last about approximately 30 minutes, and it goes by pretty fast. I'm always happy to have you call in and participate. The call-in number is 713-955-0565. Today, I made the topic mostly about history. But first, I just wanted to say about the tragedy in San Bernardino. I was deeply, deeply affected. I have been working with behavioral health for most of my adult life, and I mean, just a regular group of people. We meet at different meetings, so I know people throughout the state and different cities, different areas of behavioral health, and they're all very nice, normal people, working hard, trying to improve communities, trying to improve mental health care, which was very difficult and only got help when President Obama took office and decided to actually fund programs, some of the mental health programs that people had been talking about for their whole lives. The city I'm in had never, ever in its history had a mental health program until President Obama sent funds to our behavioral health group, and we were able to actually set up pay for clinicians to come in, pay to take care of patients, make sure patients were followed through. In the past, we would hire somebody and the funds would run out. We might keep them working for a year or two, but then we would have to let them go. And then they would be fully trained. They would want to work. They would want to stay. But we didn't have any more money to give them. We couldn't give them benefits and all the things people who are educated want. And so it was just miserable. And President Obama was the only person out of all those past presidents who actually put money to all that rhetoric about, you know, improving mental health care. In spite of presidents being shot, you know, Reagan was shot, and all the mental health problems that we saw in the Clinton era and so forth, no one was putting money towards it. Everybody was talking about it, how terrible it is. But until you put dollars down, you're not going to get care. And that's what President Obama did. So I know these people well. I know how the behavioral health works. And on Monday, around a little bit before noon, they disclosed that these people, that had been a mass shooting, behavioral health down in San Bernardino. It was just absolutely shocking. And really took me by surprise, really disoriented me. I was in disbelief for 2 days because they didn't tell any parts of the scenario. They didn't tell, you know, what was the what were the titles of the people who were involved in the shooting. They didn't give any reasons for the shooting. They just said it was a behavioral health meeting in San Bernardino, and just a terrible thing to do. And then they talked about it over and over and over again all day, every day, for most of the week. And for those of us who are close to the subject, close to the area, it was just very, very difficult to live with. And then finally, of course, the images of this couple came out and the fact that she had just had a baby and so forth. And then more pictures of the story came out. And I didn't believe, you know, the couple just had a baby. It was her first baby, his first marriage. And his sister lives in the area. And I know just from a normal family, and I know that the Muslims are even closer because they are a minority and they do feel you know, like they don't have as many resources. I know her family had to be extremely supportive of her with this baby and that they had to go over frequently. They asked her how she was feeling, if there's anything they could do. I know they had to see her while she was in the hospital and take care of him while he was at home and she was in the hospital. And I know they had to go over after the baby was born and help take care of the baby while she was recovering from delivering. And they try to say they did not see any weapons or anything unusual in that apartment. Yet pictures of that apartment show it's a very, very, very small apartment. Almost nothing's in there other than basic furniture, a couch, a couple of chairs, a crib, a table that serves as a desk, a laptop computer, a bed. The stuff in there is minimal. And if anyone was hiding all of these guns and so forth, you would have easily, especially coming over and taking care of somebody and going from room to room and checking to see what needs to be done, you would have easily seen the guns that they were amassing, the ammunition, and the other stuff. And so they both said they didn't see anything. This was a total surprise to them. And I don't believe it for a minute. I think they're both lying. And there might be, and others in the family are probably lying too, because I'm sure the grandparents of the baby came over and sat around the house for hours, and they would have noticed it. And now the husband's sister wants to adopt the baby, and I think, you know, that is not good. That baby is going to be brought up as a son of some heroes who were able to kill many people in the United States, and that baby is going to see as its main function a continued disruption of the United States and continued killing of Christians and Jews in the United States and doing anything else it can. And this baby can do it through the school system, because the baby, as it grows up, will have access to all parts of the schools where our children will be going and where we hope our children are thinking clear-headed and getting an education. And this child will be going around having been brainwashed and told that its mission is to help disrupt the United States and to commit murders in the United States, and that would be a good thing, and that this baby will die and have a wonderful life and so forth. So I don't think that this woman should be able to adopt, and I think this baby needs to be monitored extremely closely for its mental health, how it's thinking, how it's being raised, for many, many years. Some statements in the newspaper saying that they were upset because this woman who helped kill these 14 people, she was being shown without her full garb, and normally she showed only her eyes, which I don't believe that either. They were saying that they shouldn't have shown her face. Well, I think they should have shown not only her face, they should have shown her whole head. They should have shown who she is, because people might have recognized her better if they'd been able to see her whole head. And like other people who died, we want to see pictures of the autopsy. We want to see pictures of her scalp being removed and her brain being taken out and putting the brain in jars for evaluation later, and all the stuff they normally do to people who are in that situation. I don't think they deserve better treatment than other people who went through that, and we have to recognize these are not people. Our pity does not go with the shooters. Our pity goes with those people who were working hard to serve their community. And at a small meeting with a Christmas party attached to it, the 14 were killed. And so it's normal people. Such normal people. My heart still weeps for them, and sorry to all of the people who lost family members or who were any way involved in that tragedy. I cannot imagine ever having to go back into that building, into that room where 14 people bled to death on the floor and had that experience. I mean, that would be clutter your mind so much. It would be very hard to be clear thinking at a meeting like that. But they will have to use it, because that building is not going to be torn down, as they do sometimes when horrible things happen in a building or a house. That building will stay, and they will have to muddle through. I suggest they have several blessings of the room, that they try to deal with the evil spirit that walked into that room and committed those horrible killings. I don't know. I think that it's just so far beyond anything, you know, without actually being in the situation and dealing with it in that level. It's very hard to say exactly how you would go on and how you would approach it so that people can feel better about using the facility and feeling safe there. So I wanted to touch on that because that just really, really rocked my week in a major way. And I want to go on about, you know, history is something I never paid much attention to when I was a student. I, of course, had to learn history, and people talked about, you know, Roman history, Greek history, English history, and then American history. It never fit. The whole picture never fit. I never understood a lot of it. I mean, I was from a small town, Greek, Roman, English, all this stuff was foreign to me and did not seem in any way to relate to my life. Most of the people I knew were people I just thought of as Americans. I didn't think of them as Greek Americans or English Americans or anything like that. I just thought of them as Americans, just like I was. And so so history never meant much to me, and most of it I ignored. I did enough to pass the test, and then I didn't really think about it. Well, the nice thing, I've aged quite a bit, and as I got older, I had more time to go in some of the areas of my life that I have really ignored. And one of them, which I really find very interesting, is, again, history. And I don't think I would have done that even if it hadn't been for the Internet, because the Internet, you can get your history in so many different ways that it's not easier than just picking up a book and trying to trudge through a, you know, rather dry history book. So I do all kinds of things. I do my own reading. I do various things through the Internet to find out stories, and then I can focus on various stories where I'm still having confusion, and I still have a lot of confusion about history. I have a lot of skepticism about history, because who was writing all this stuff? What was their motivation? You know, one thing you learn over the years is that people always write with a motivation, just like our newscasters speak with a motivation. You know, they're supposed to be neutral, but they always speak from their point of view, whether they're Republican or Democrat, whether they dislike somebody or whether they are supporters of somebody. It always comes through in their reporting, and historians do the same thing. And so you look at history and you wonder, what was their real reason for being a historian? Why did they want this job? Because they obviously derive some power from being the historian. You can tell people's story in the way you want to, and that gives you a lot of power, because people can't all get out and tell you their own story. We rely on historians to get the story out, and we hope that what they're saying is true. Historians were always educated people, and of course most of the United States was not educated. Even when I was growing up, most people hadn't gone to college. Most women were Most women were housewives, and they didn't consider themselves particularly educated and able to give any great opinions about anything. So they were mostly by men. But in the minority groups, Most of the men, neither men nor women, were educated because, of course, in the United States, the United States did not want to educate minorities, and they actually killed minorities if they were trying to get an education. It was absolutely forbidden to teach a black how to read or write. And so no one was there to be assured or to correct history that was being written about blacks, or what blacks thought or what blacks did. So the history is slanted by people, and in those days, most of the people would have been, for slavery. So most of the history was written by people who probably were for continuing slavery, because that was the business that kept America going. When I look back on history and I see the stories of Julius Caesar and his quest to be king, how he was killed in the Senate, stabbed, his friend Mark Antony wasn't there because they had supposedly tricked him so that he couldn't save Caesar. And then Mark Antony ended up pursuing and staying with, most of the time, with Cleopatra. There was a line of Cleopatras, and he was staying with Cleopatra. And then they were having a grand old time until Octavius, Julius's son, said he was going to go and get Cleopatra, parade her throughout the streets, and then kill her, of course. But she killed herself, and her servants had to go too. And that story is very interesting, and I they say Cleopatra was part Oriental and part African. Who was Cleopatra really? I don't know. I don't know. We hear things, who's really saying that history? How do we know what's true? How do we know what was going on with Mark Antony and Cleopatra and Julius Caesar and all that stuff, what they were thinking, really? All of that is, I'm skeptic. I'm very skeptical of all of that stuff because I don't know who's doing the history or what was their motivation. But it's interesting to read and to find out about, and I hope you will also pursue that and get some idea of what was going on. And as we study all the history over there across the water, there's very little history that's in the United States, because when Christopher Columbus and then the Pilgrims came to the United States, well, they were killing the Indians so fast because the Indians, they felt, were not human. They felt they were evil. They felt they were, some people said they thought they were, like some sort of animal, some human animal, devils. And so they thought they were there, and it was their God-given right to get rid of those people so that they could claim the land for themselves. So they were killing the Indians so fast that I don't think anyone really, really kept track of what the Indians thought or what they did or how they got there or what their history was. So the history of the United States, to me, is still a blur. I don't know really what the history of the United States was as far as the Native people in the years before Christopher Columbus and the Pilgrims. And as soon as the Pilgrims came out and got a new spot, if they saw a new beautiful coastline spot that they wanted to inhabit, they would quickly kill off all the Indians that were there so that they could have that spot for themselves. So we don't have much history about the United States. And so the fact that we have this jagged history of history in Rome and so forth that goes back thousands of years, and history of the United States, which starts around, 1400s, that doesn't make any sense. And what really was going on? Where were these Americans coming from? What was their real life? What were their real beliefs? We'll never know, because that history, of course, was lost, as far as I know. Now, maybe if I went to the Library of Congress or something like that, I could find out what somebody wrote about it. Maybe somebody did talk to a few Indians before they killed them. But, you know, how much is an Indian going to really speak to you when you're killing everybody? So all of that's really questionable. And then, of course, we have the fact that history was by word of mouth. A lot of people are unreliable historians. They tell a story, but they tell it the wrong way. They have changes in their story that aren't right. They try to make people virtuous in their story that they want to be virtuous. They try to give their story a slant, such as they and their people, their relatives, might get power, and they want to hide anything that might be negative about their own family or their own relatives or their own people. Their truth, who knows what truth it is, what truth means to them. And we have to be very careful and question what exactly are they saying is true and what are the other truths that might be out there, because we're only hearing the story from one person and that pretty much becomes the story because there aren't many people doing the reporting. And then, of course, a lot of people like to fight. A lot of people like to keep going on, and they like to perpetuate war and racism. They want to keep the battle between people going, so they're always trying to stir up negatives about people, create negatives about people, put people of races or classes that they think are inferior in a bad light, and to shed a great light on the people that they want to shed a great light on. But we know that in England, when the pilgrims were coming over, I mean, England was a mess. That's why people were leaving. People wouldn't have left England if it had been so great. They would have stayed there. They would have enjoyed their wonderful country, and the Indians in the United States would have grown however it would have grown. But they were leaving there because they needed money, they needed income, and they were having a lot of problems. I mean, the place was a dirty, congested mess. And slavery, of course, was always desirable, because slaves mean that you can make more money. You can live off the work done by, 10, 50, 100 people. They can be working hard as can be, and then you get the profit, and they get nothing or very little. So, of course, everybody wants slaves, and everybody's going to make slavery sound good. They're going to make slaves sound bad. Somebody recently said to me, they said, sometimes you hear a saying, a lazy nigger, and that, they said, well, who in the world would not be a lazy nigger, because what they required you to do is to get up at, 5 or 4 in the morning, work all day in the hot sun, spare food. You don't go in and take a nice shower when you're tired. You don't stop the bleeding from your hands when your hands are bleeding or your feet are bleeding or the bugs are out there biting you or you're having back pain, leg pain. And then you go and you work into the dark. You get enough time to go home, go to sleep, get about 4 hours sleep, and then you're back up to work. And you're not getting any pay. So who in the world's going to be not lazy? So a lot of the sayings that we hear about people are basically meant to help one group of people, but they're not meant to tell the truth about what was going on with the other group of people. And so it slants our history. And It slants our history, and a lot of the things that we hear stick, but only parts stick. Only the parts stick that the historians want you to have stick, and we don't hear the full story. So be very careful. I want everybody to go in and become a historian, because we don't have enough historians from multiple backgrounds. We need more historians. We need more people documenting what's happening now, what happened in your lifetime. If you can remember stories of what happened in your parents' lifetime, we need all of that stuff documented, because that's going to help figure out what exactly is going on, what's the motivation, and what can we do to make things better and more understandable for our children. Okay, unfortunately, I got into the San Bernardino stuff, and time for me to go, so unfortunately, good night.